Our theme for today is open my eyes, Lord. I need to see you. Open my eyes, Lord. I need to see you. This theme is really a prayer. A prayer for God to move the darkness of doubt that often come over our lives during difficult times. Be real with me this afternoon. Have you ever left worship services wondering if the message that was preached, will it really work in my situation? Lord, will you really do it for me? Has doubt ever robbed you of what God intended for you? Alistair McGregg says, doubt is natural within faith. It comes because of our human weakness and frailty. He goes on to contrast doubt with unbelief. Unbelief, he says, is the decision to live your life as if there is no God. It is a deliberate decision to reject Jesus Christ and all that he stands for. But doubt is quite different. Doubt, brothers and sisters, arises within the context of faith. Doubt is a longing to be sure of the things in which we trust. Which suggests, brothers and sisters, that even in doubt, God is able to meet us where we are. In the scripture for today's text, the Lord met John the Baptist where he was in a time of doubt. Will you join me in praying this prayer today? Lord, open my eyes. I need to see you. The text. Verses 1 through 3, when Jesus had finished giving instruction to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, in other words, Jesus, are you the expected one? Or shall we look for someone else? Notice in verse 1, the transition between chapter 10 and chapter 11. Chapter 10, we were there last week, and the Lord he reminded us that we've been summoned to go and make disciples. And notice this transition, Jesus didn't just send them out two by two. But after sending them, Jesus went himself. See the picture. It's a picture of a proper perspective. It's a picture of character. It's a picture of integrity. Brothers and sisters, it's a picture of what Christ's likeness ought to look like. I just don't tell you what to do. I ought to show you how to do it. I ought to be seen involved in ministry myself. I never forget Deacon James Taylor when we were at Mount Pleasant coming up. Deacon Cofield, he was a quiet deacon, but he was a deacon that you would see in the bathroom with the mop in his hand. He said that to the younger deacons that there's nothing here beneath what you ought to be able to do. In other words, he was saying that your position is not about having a name, about the position. It's about serving. Is what he was saying, that you need to know how important it is to serve, and you don't need to be out front all the time serving. You ought to be able to serve behind closed doors. And that's who we have in Jesus. He's one who is filled with integrity. But notice on the other hand how doubt can cause us to lose a proper perspective. And the first reason I believe that this text teaches us that we need to be in prayer is because doubt often arises during difficult situations in our lives. You can sing on a sunshiny day. What do you do when the rain is falling? You left the umbrella at home. Who do you complain to rather than thank God that you can feel the rain? John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, he had boldly proclaimed God's word. In chapter 3, John had pointed the people to Christ and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." John had baptized Jesus Christ. And now in chapter 11, we find him sitting in a prison. We find him struggling emotionally. He was in a difficult situation, a place where doubt crept in. Brothers and sisters, I don't know if you've ever been there, but can you identify in your life areas where doubt have crept in and slowly began to change your perspective? You remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? Chapter 18, he challenged the prophets of Baal. 450 of them, 400 some other prophets. He challenged them to see who would answer. Will Baal answer or will Jehovah answer? And I don't know if you know the story or not, how the worship of Baal, the prophets began to call on Baal. They began to dance before Baal. They began to cut themselves with knives and spears and blood gushing out. But you know what? That idol God never answered. Elijah said, "You might want to cry a little louder. Maybe he's asleep." But at the end, Elijah, you know what he did? How he poured all kinds of water, did a number of things, and God answered by fire. Yes, he did. He consumed the burnt offering, the wood, the stones, the dust, the water. It was an amazing display of God's power in chapter 18. And brothers and sisters, we're looking to witness the same God's amazing power during this year. We're looking like Elijah. He saw it. He was obedient. He trusted God, and God showed up. But when you get to chapter 19, verse number 1, now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. God didn't just show up and answer with fire, but Elijah killed all those false prophets. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me, and even more, if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." And when he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, "It is enough now, O Lord, take my life, for I am not better than my father." Elijah lost perspective. Chapter 18, major victory, standing tall. Chapter 19, fear overcame him, listening to Jezebel's threats. Weary and tired, doubt crept in, and he ran from Jezebel and was ready to quit. What's challenge in your life had caused you to lose a proper perspective. Like Elijah, like John the Baptist, we too must learn that yesterday's victory doesn't mean the war is over. Each day, we must allow God's word to direct our path. Each day, brothers and sisters, we must keep fighting, keep standing, keep praying. Lord, open my eyes. I need to see you. I don't care how well things are today. It's a prayer that you ought to be praying, brothers and sisters, because trouble will come. It's not a matter of if it'll come. It's when it comes. Because it will come. And what you don't want to do, you don't want to be caught up and overtaken by trouble. When we get away from simple, regular reading and applying God's word, then, my brothers and sisters, we drift into ungodliness. We drift into spiritual darkness. And in difficult times, that's the time we need to be gazing on the greatness of our God. Because trouble will come. And if we're not careful, doubt will creep in. Why me, Lord? Been giving my best, been trying my best. I just stepped up. Why me, Lord? But secondly, we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. I need to see you. I don't just need to see the church building. I just don't need to see another saint. Lord, I need to see you. Show us your glory. Doubt can also come with unmet expectations. Hear the question John raised in verse number 3, verse 2 and 3. Now when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one? Or shall we look for someone else?" Can you hear the unmet expectation? John had an expectation for the Messiah. John, being a man of the word, anticipated that he would see certain things. But turn with me, Matthew chapter 3. Look at verse 11 and 12. As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I. I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat in the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Here in chapter 3, John given a warning of judgment coming. When Christ comes, he's going to come and bring judgment. He's going to deal with some stuff. And brothers and sisters, and we find him just a few chapters later, instead of Christ dealing with the stuff that he was preaching about, he's in jail. And instead of wrong being addressed, Jesus is hanging out with sinners, teaching them about forgiveness. John said, "Are you really the expected Messiah?" Can you see him raising questions sitting in prison? I don't know about you, but how many of you got married with some expectations that you soon found out were not realistic? At least not at that early stage of marriage. Doubt showed up, and we began to think, did I marry the right one? Never thinking, am I being the right one? And even, have you ever made some investments and then the bottom falls out? And you find yourself saying, why in the world did I listen to that person? Thought they were giving me good advice. I never will forget. Dean Cofield in the corporate world sit on this advisory board, and I probably told this story before. 13 years, you start telling them over again. Y'all act like you never heard it. We went on this leadership retreat, team building, and we had these obstacle courses. Were part of one day that we had to go through, and it was different. We were not all Verizon employees, but it was different corporations working together on this advisory board. So it was just interesting seeing the people that you work with on an obstacle course. It was more interesting seeing myself going down that zip line, down that hill faster than I could run, wondering who talked me into getting on this thing. Going over a body of water faster than I wanted to go, and that thing turned on me, and I said, who convinced me to get on this thing? But you was there to work together, to learn how to work together. But there are times in life that doubt creeps in, all I'm trying to say to you. Brothers and sisters, you begin to wonder to yourself, have I made the right choice? And there are times when things don't work out the way we plan. They don't come together the way we envision them. And then doubt knocks on the door, and doubt said, let me talk to you, Snee. But rather than to entertain doubt, I want to encourage you, go into prayer and say, Lord, open my eyes, because I need to see you. John the Baptist said, I don't understand what I'm seeing right now. I don't understand what's going on. Difficult situations, unmet expectations. But then thirdly, we need to pray this prayer. Lord, open my eyes. I need to see you. It sounds simple, but I want to encourage you to hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you. Doubt can also come from a limited perception. We think we're grown now that we can tell our grown children what to do. But do you not realize that your sight is still limited? That even your wisdom is still limited? John simply did not understand all that was happening around him. He knew what the Word of God said. He was a man in the Word. But what he was looking at didn't add up to his interpretation of the word. And brothers and sisters, it's in difficult times that our faith often began to falter because our perspective is limited. Job, would you be a witness? Job was a man. He was a man that prayed. He was a man that fasted. He was a man that trusted God. But then there came a day when stuff just didn't add up for Job. Stuff didn't make sense to Job. His perspective was limited, and he couldn't even find God. He was looking for him. He was calling out for him. Brothers and sisters, like John, like Job, we cannot see all that God is doing, even when we are people of the Word. We have one goal in mind. God has another goal. He may have that same goal, but he can have much more than we can ever imagine. And I want to encourage you to pray and ask God to open your eyes that you might see the way God sees. Because there are times that I find myself saying, Lord, I don't understand. Anybody in here ever gave the tithe? God said that I opened the windows. Pour out a blessing, you won't be able to receive. And you ever thought, Lord, where is the blessing? Anybody ever looked at Matthew 6:33 and said, Lord, I'm doing my best to put you first, but all this other stuff hadn't added up yet? Have you stopped by 2 Chronicles 7:14 and you pray, you seek his face, but it seemed like he just have not answered? John the Baptist had a limited perspective, and so do we. And that's why we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. As we look at John, the Spirit says to us, learn how to pray for God to open your eyes. Lord, I need to see you. I'm looking at my trouble and it's overtaking me. I need to see you. I'm looking at somebody who disappointed me. Lord, I need to see you. I'm looking at a month that's longer than my money. Lord, I need to see you. Notice, if you will, how Jesus addresses John's doubt. Because we can learn that he can address ours also. It's found right there in verses 4 through 6. Brothers and sisters, listen to what Jesus says to John. He said to the disciples, he said, you go and tell John. He answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. In other words, John's sight was limited. Jesus said, I want you to go tell him what you see. Take this sight back to him. Take this perspective back to him. He says to him, the blind receive sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. That's what Jesus, in verses 4 to 5, said to tell him. Why does that make sense? Why would it make sense to John? Because John would have read Isaiah 35, verse 3 to 6. What the book says, encourage the exhausted and strengthen the feeble. Say to those with anxious heart, take courage, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. The recompense of God will come. He will say you. Hear him. Verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind will be opened. And the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer. And the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. For the waters will break forth in the wilderness and screams in the Araba. Brothers and sisters, Jesus simply said, you go tell John that what I am doing is that I'm fulfilling what the word of God has already said. And I want somebody to know that God will be true to his word. Brothers and sisters, we can stand on God's word. We might have to wait sometimes, but you wait in faith. Because verse number 6 declares that if we would receive his word, that God will be true to his word. He says, and blessed is he who does not take offense at me. In other words, the one that's going to be blessed, the one that's going to be rewarded, is the one that received the word of God for what it is. I tell you, payday is coming. John is doubting, but Jesus said, you go tell him to hold of God's word. Don't give up and don't take back. Sisters and brothers, we need to know how to hold on to God's word. And the good news is, Lord, help me make this plain. Somebody here today, you need God to open your eyes. I need him to open my eyes because I want to see him. And what we do, we see this Bible, but we don't see him. John said, you go back and, Jesus said, go back and tell John that this word has been made flesh. And this word is doing just what God said it would do. And on my way to my seat, let me close with verse 7 through 11. Because after he told them to tell John that, and that's going to be help for John, he speaks to you and me just like he speaks to this crowd. He turns his attention to the crowd. As these men were going away, Jesus began to speak to the crowd. Somebody here today, God is saying you're in the crowd, and I want to speak to you. I want you to hear what I'm about to say, because it's just for you. He said to them, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? Can somebody say see? He said, a reed shaken by the wind. But what did you go out to see? He keep raising a rhetorical question. They went out to see John in the wilderness, crying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come. They went out to see him and to hear the message. But Jesus says, what did you go out to see? Did you go out in the wilderness to see a man dressed in fine clothes? No, you didn't, because a man in fine clothes sit in a king's palace. But John is in the wilderness. Yes, he is, dressed like a rugged man. But look what he says. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and one who is more than a prophet. Great God Almighty. Jesus say yes, he was a prophet, but he was more than a prophet. Why, Jesus, was John not like Elijah? Why, Jesus, was John not like the early prophets? Jesus says, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before me. What he did is that John is written about in the scriptures. He would be my forerunner. Elijah, Isaiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, Habakkuk, all of those had their place, but none of them, I said none of them, laid their eyes on me and saw me for who I am. John prophesied, and John saw me. He stood at the threshold between law and grace. Yes, he did. Greater than any man ever born. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Because God decided, I'm going to place him there and give him a job. And John, in the midst of doubt, did his job. Yes, he did. But don't stop reading there. That's good news. You may not get excited because John did his job, but I'm glad that he did. And not just because of that, but look at verse number 11. Truly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not arisen anyone greater than John the Baptist. What are you saying, Jesus? Not one. Not one. Then he says, yet, Sister Jackson, yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. Deacon Cofield, do you know what he's saying? He's saying all of us coming after, we're greater than John. Sneed, what are you talking about? How in the world am I greater than John the Baptist? How are you greater than John the Baptist? First of all, you got to be in the kingdom. Are you in the kingdom? If you're in the kingdom, he said you're greater in the sense that you have a greater privilege.
John stood on that side of the cross. We stand on this side of the cross. John looked ahead. He hadn't been to Calvary when John saw him. But we on this side, we look back and we see. He died. I said he died. According to scripture, he died. Was buried? Yes, he was. But early, I said early, the third day morning, he got up with all power. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Tell somebody, if you want to go to heaven, if you want eternal life, you have power to tell somebody. Lord, I need you to open my eyes. I want to see you. I need you. Father and our God,